Blog Talk Radio.
So
today they were uncomfortable. Even if they were quick, they were uncomfortable.
They came born from this.
Absolutely. It's getting close to fall.
Can we all do it?
We're going to bow our heads like a prayer.
Hey, it is. It
is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love and support each other.
We must love and support each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love and support each other.
We must love and support each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love and support each other.
We must love and support each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
The blackness. Keep on. Number is 646-200-0067. Once again, the call-in number is 646-200-0067. You guys can hit me up on Facebook, Dino Dean Show. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Dino Dean Show. You can also shoot me an email, and that email address is dinodeanshow@hotmail.com. We don't have a chat room today for whatever reason, guys, so I apologize for that. But a bit later in the show, we're going to have a Get It Off Your Chest Sunday, and we're going to do what we normally do. But at the top of the hour, we'll have a fantastic gentleman on air with us, and his name is Victor Croswell, and he is a member of the Chicago Dodo chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen. And he's going to be speaking with us once again, because this brother is a friend of the show, about a wonderful program sponsored by the Dodo chapter called the Young Eagles Program. And with that said, welcome back to the show, Mr. Croswell.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah, brother, I really appreciate it. And for those who may not know, and I'm sure everybody does know, but you may have a few people out there that have been living underneath a rock. Who were the Tuskegee Airmen?
Well, the Tuskegee Airmen were the first black pilots, you know, during World War II. And before World War II, there weren't many pilots at all, but the Tuskegee Airmen were the first black pilots who fought for this country in World War II.
Okay, very good. And tell us about the Young Eagles program that the Dodo chapter offers to our young people.
Okay, the Young Eagles program is a program where we take youth and take them out to the Gary Airport out in Gary, Indiana, and we fly the kids from the age of 8 to 17 for totally free of cost. Now, the next Young Eagles rally is going to be on the 11th of April, which is coming up. And, you know, I'm welcoming everybody to look at their calendars at every second Saturday of the month throughout the year. And if you guys get a chance, come out and at least see what's going on, you know, because this is an opportunity for youth to be exposed to aviation. Now, all you have to do is to be, like I said, 8 to 17 years old and get your parents' permission and call the Tuskegee Airmen Experimental Aircraft Association Young Eagles hotline at 773-602-2880. And you will be automatically scheduled for the next available rally, weather permitting. On the date of the flight, phone again and press 3 on the phone to see if weather is okay for the flight. Okay, a parent or guardian must sign a consent form before you fly. And every young eagle must be accompanied by a parent or guardian and will receive a official Young Eagles flight certificate commemorating their first flight, and you'll be sworn in and may actually have the experience of meeting one of the original Tuskegee Airmen.
That's absolutely phenomenal. And once up in the air, can the children take control of the plane at all with an instructor by the side?
Well, that's all dependent on the pilot you fly with. You know, most of the kids I fly, you know, I usually fly like 3 kids at a time. And what I'll do is I'll have them flip a coin, and first of all, it's to whoever wants to sit in the front, and secondly, is to see if you can get a chance to grab the wheel.
Okay, that sounds exciting. And once again, you said it's free, correct?
Oh yeah, that's the whole thing about this. You know, we've been running this program since the early 1990s, around 94, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's over 20 years, and like I said, the program is actually free, and, you know, we had a busload of kids come in from somewhere in Wisconsin, I believe, and you know, it's wherever you have something good, there's bad elements. Somebody had actually told the kids to pay them $25 a piece.
Really?
Like I said, when they got to the airport, they were really astonished to find out that the program was free and they had been gypped by someone. But, you know, the program is free, and it always has been and always will be. But this is something that we offer to, you know, the youngsters out there to try to get a grip on the life of an aviator.
And can you share any success stories from the Young Eagles program?
Oh, most certainly. You know, we've flown to date over 10,000 kids. So as you can imagine, you know, we had to touch a lot of people's lives. And one young lady in particular, she took her first flight with us, and is now the CEO of her own aviation company and runs up program After School Matters, if you've ever heard of that
one. Mm-mm.
And she took her first flight with us when she was 15, and now she's the CEO of her own company. And we had another young man who took his first flight with us, and now he's actually a major, Mr. Kenny Ruffin, and he actually flies F-16s for the Air Force. But, you know, I mean, it's not only that, you know. I mean, we got kids flying for Southwest, you know, United, American, you know, UPS, and some of them even flying, you know, executives around with their jets. And they actually took their first ride with us.
So the Young Eagles program is something that's definitely inspirational to certain young people and a great career opportunity if they stick with it.
Well, correct. You know, I mean, I've been in aviation all my life. You know, I did 2 6-year enlistments in the Air Force myself. And I used to be an aircraft maintenance mechanic. I graduated from American Airlines as a mechanic out at O'Hare Field. And, you know, the aviation field is full of careers, you know. You know, you can load airplanes. You can gas them up. You can, you know, clean them up. You know, you know, you see them out there doing different things to airplanes, such as de-icing them. Then you got air traffic controllers, you got the ticket agents. I mean, it's just a bevy of career fields that you can aspire to in aviation. And, you know, we like to try to tell the youngsters, you know, we'll get you guys high legal.
Okay, I just caught what you said. And what types of planes are used to take the children up?
Well, we have a baseline of 100 pilots who help us. You know, they don't all show up at once, but, you know, they all have different airplanes, you know, some one-seater, two-seaters, up to six-seat type of airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Piper Cherokees, you know, Bonanzas, you know, it's just a multitude of airplanes with the guys that we have, and we always appreciate them showing up. Because, like I said, this is an all-volunteer effort.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you guys take donations, correct?
Oh, sure. You know, and in fact, you know, our airplanes have to be worked on. You know, like I said, this program is free, but our airplanes have to be worked on, and that costs money. They have to be fueled. That costs money, and, you know, we're always accepting donations, and they can just send the donations to the Chicago Dodo chapter, and we'll just put that forth to this program to keep it going. Like I said.
And the website is www.taichicago.org?
Yes, sir. It's www.taichicago.org. And it behooves, you know, the listening audience to go and browse that website, because we do have scholarship applications on there. And now is the time to really put in for them. Because what we do, too, is, you know, we have a scholarship dinner. And I believe last year we gave away like 10 $1,000 scholarships to deserving students.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what you got to do is write an essay about, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen or either Bessie Coleman, and then the, you know, the original Tuskegee Airmen. They review the applicant's, you know, submission, and then they decide pretty much who's going to get the scholarships. But yeah, we do average about $1,000 scholarships per year.
Brother, that's phenomenal. And before I let you go, I want to ask you this question as well. Talk to us about the importance of us keeping the legacy of the Tuskegee Airmen alive, because me personally, if we don't keep, and this is just my opinion, if we don't keep our legacy and take control of our story, other people tend to take control of that story and it gets distorted, and we will never get the true facts on what have went on with our own people. But I would like to hear your perspective on the importance of keeping the legacy of the Tuskegee Airmen alive and accurate.
Okay, well, the importance to me as being a member of the Tuskegee Airmen over 20 years, I mean, I actually bought an airplane and had Tuskegee Airmen painted on it, plus the red tail. You know, and we have two of those airplanes. It's the 99th and the 301st. Which are their squadrons. And what we do is we fly around the country representing and promoting their legacy. Not only is that important, but, you know, you have to understand what they did. You know, this coming up summer, we're going to have the second Legacy Flight Academy training that we had. We had the first one about 2 years ago down at Tuskegee, Alabama. But see, what a lot of people don't know, too, is that, you know, when Clinton was president, he gave Moulton Field, and that's the airfield down at Tuskegee, is named after Mr. Moulton, $1.5 million to have the field restored. Now, they have like a living memorial museum, like you can go down there to see where they trained and where they flew and where they ate and where they slept. And the National Park Service is running it. You know, those are the people who keeps the eternal flame for Mr. Kennedy, you know, President Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they give tours down there, and it's really important, you know, to keep this going. You know, not only that, we had a letter-writing campaign started, and we actually got, when you go past 95th Street, like you're going down south for I-57, you know, we had that named the Tuskegee Airmen Memorial Trail. And we got the letter-writing campaign going, and Governor Pat Quinn, who was governor at the time, he put the first signs up, and, you know, the original Tuskegee Airmen of the chapter sign. And another thing, you know, he voted us into the Illinois Aviation Hall of Fame. And all this is stuff that, you know, our kids know.
Mr. Croswell, let me just interrupt you briefly. Where is that Hall of Fame located?
Well, the Illinois Aviation Hall of Fame, you have to go to the Illinois Aviation website.
Okay.
Illinois Department of Aviation. Now, when we went down there for the ceremony, it was in Springfield, Illinois, but that's not where the Hall of Fame is. You know, it's in the Illinois Aviation website. You know, it's all about the aviation people in Illinois. And see, a lot of people don't know, too, that the 99th Squadron started first here in Illinois at Chattanooga Air Force. And that's the base I graduated from. And after they graduated from Chinook, then they shipped them down to Tuskegee. A lot of people don't know that. And just like with I-57, you know, I-57 wasn't named after nobody. So we asked the governor, could we name it after the Tuskegee Airmen? Because I-57 goes right past Chinook. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to have it named after the Tuskegee Airmen.
Brother, that is phenomenal history, and I think it's great work that you guys are doing because, believe you me, you've been doing this over how many years again?
Well, I've been doing this approximately 22 years. Well, I've been flying for 22 years, but I've been doing this work about 25 years, and I'm glad to say, too, that we're getting to the point where we're having students, which we train, they're coming back to train more students, which is what we did the program for in the first place. You know, they're starting to pop up and they're coming back. Hey, you know, what can I do to help? Well, what
That's
you can
great.
Do is fly all these kids with us, but we're getting older, just like the Tuskegee Airmen. So I'm glad to see that they're stepping up, and we're really excited about training more the next generation.
Absolutely. And the Young Eagles program, once they complete their flight, they receive a package, if I remember correctly, because my children have done it. And I have one that was too short and too young at the time. He's going this year. What do they receive in their package, in their Young Eagle package?
Well, we usually give them an award, a certificate, an award certificate showing, you know, what type of plane they flew with, the pilot they flew with, and it'll have their name on. You know, it's a suitable for framing certificate. And they also get a their first logbook, and the logbook has an ID number in it. Where if you go to the EAA website, you can punch in those numbers in your logbook, and you can get, you know, time towards your flying time, because the first flight is worth like a half an hour of your first flying time, and you can actually apply that towards your flight training. But, you know, they didn't have this when I was coming along, but what they do is they have it now. And the kids can actually get training. I'm talking about real training.
Right.
They fly them, but you got to have at least 40 hours before you can start taking your examinations. But as soon as you come out with us and take those first few minutes, it's already an application towards your pilot license.
That's phenomenal. And for those who have children or grandchildren that may be a little reserved about them going up, tell them about the safety factor as well and how safe it really is flying with you guys.
Well, let me fast some wood. I'm going to knock on wood. I mean, we haven't had an incident in the Young Eagles program far as the Chicago chapter is concerned. But, you know, we try to fly safe, and you know, actually it's safer than driving your car, you know. And like I said, we haven't had any incidences whatsoever, you know, with these kids. You know, we just try to run a safe program. You know, we, you know, I'm the one who actually does the pilot briefing prior to us starting there. I mean, the program, and we actually pray to the big guy above that, you know, all our children are safe. And usually, if we have like rough or inclement looking weather, you know, seems like the weather subsides, and after we fly that last kid, it'll start pouring down rain. So I thank the Heavenly Father for that, you know, because that's the way it's been. I don't know, when you do good, you know, good comes to you, and we like to think that way.
Absolutely. And, brother, I want to thank you once again for coming on air with us and sharing this, what I consider very valuable information, because there's nothing like an opportunity. And by them going up, like you talked about the success stories, it just may spark the interest of a young person, and they might decide they want to go into aviation. And like you stated, there's so many career opportunities in it, from being a mechanic to actually flying, de-icing, so on and so forth. So you guys are doing tremendous work, Mr. Croswell, and I want to thank you once again for coming on air and sharing that with us. And one more time, the website is www.taichicago.org, and they accept donations. You know, it's a free flight for the children. However, it does cost money. It costs money. We have to fund things that are good for our people and good for children. So this is what we have to do. And, Mr. Croswell, thank you so much for coming on air again. And you have a good rest of your Sunday, okay?
Okay, well, as always, you know, you got my number. Hey, if you need me, call me. I'll be at your service.
Brother, thank you so much, and keep on doing what you're doing, brother. And I'll see you later this summer. I'm going to bring my little one out, and he had been on me for the past couple of years. He said, when am I going up in an airplane? And I told him, you're going to go up this year. You're finally old enough. Brother, thanks again, and keep on doing what you do, okay?
All right. God bless you, brother.
God bless you too, brother. And that was Victor Croswell from the Chicago Dodo chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen. And it's phenomenal work that these guys do. And it's all volunteer. They take time out of their schedules. And as long as the weather is good, they take the children up. So go to the website once again, www.taichicago.org, and see if it's something that's for you. And I guarantee you, you're going to have some of your children, they're going to just be absolutely lit up, and it's going to be something so thrilling for them, because we have a lot going on with our young people all over this nation. And when we see something like this, we have to support it, and we have to expose our children to new things. But with that said, we're going to take a brief break, guys, and we will be right back. You're listening to the Dino Dean Show. Holla Back Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Del Blair talking to you from the Meta Center in Chicago, Illinois, where you can join us each Saturday from 2 o'clock to 3:30 for our teleconference. It's for you, it's for me. You can also reach us at www.themetacenter2.com. That's www.themetacenter2.com. Bonus at our business line, 708-422-6685. That's 708-422-6685, where you can dial to protect you from radiation, Bags to take away pain and speed up healing, and Monatomic Gold to help all of your cells operate better. And thank you very much. I look forward to hearing from you. And at this time of ascension, this is a time of prevention. May the Creator bless you now.
Chicago is facing an epidemic of gun violence. It's time to put the guns down and stand up for what's right.
Chicago, what do you stand for?
I stand for creating justice for communities.
I stand for positivity.
I stand for basketball.
I stand for opportunity.
I stand for my city.
I stand for resolving conflict without violence.
I stand for consciousness.
I stand for creating a safe place for self-expression.
I stand for helping the youth.
For empowering youth through art.
I stand for education.
Art for kids.
For kids.
I stand for second chance.
I stand for hard work.
For unity.
I stand for helping people solve problems peacefully.
I stand for ending the violence.
No more violence.
No more violence.
Stand up for no more killing.
No more killing.
No more killing.
No more killing.
No more killing. Stand up for peace.
Peace.
For peace.
Chicago, stand up.
What do you stand for?
I stand for my city.
For this city.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Chicago, stand up. What do you stand for?
To learn more, go to noahsarkfoundation.org.
Once again, the call-in number is 646-200-0067. Sorry, guys, no chat room today. Something's going on, and there's nothing I can do about it, but it is what it is, and we got to definitely have the show keep going on. And I want to talk a bit about the education of black boys today and how important it is to have people that look like them in the classroom instructing them. And what made me want to talk about this, I ran across a very interesting article called Six Ways America's White Female Teaching Force Harms Black Boys. And it was very interesting. And we have to come to the realization that we can't just keep handing over our young boys, as well as our young ladies as well, into the hands of somebody that does not understand where they come from, do not understand their background, and don't have a common set of, I wouldn't use the word values, but just no commonality there, basically from two totally different worlds. And it's something that I believe really needs to be addressed, and I would love to see more brothers get into the teaching profession. But I'm going to go down this list, and this list is, once again, six ways America's white female teaching force harms black boys. And some of this stuff is going to be pretty self-evident. Some of this stuff we may not even know about. And the first one is female teachers tend to give boys lower grades. Studies have found that when female teachers evaluate students without preference to objective test scores, the teachers grade boys well below their actual academic performance. Professor Christopher Cornwell at the University of Georgia found that when boys perform better than girls on tests, after subjective evaluations by female teachers were factored in, the girls wound up with higher grades. This disparity was even more striking for black and Hispanic boys. And that's big, guys, because in today's environment and the way that the education system is set up, GPA, grade point average, is very important if one of our young people want to go on to an institution of higher learning. So just by that natural bias setting in and giving boys lower grades by female teachers, that's huge, because a student may be deserving of going to XYZ particular university or college, but the GPA may keep them out. So that was number one. And number two, boys are graded more fairly in AP classes where there are less black boys. And I'm going to read that again. Boys are graded more fairly in AP classes where there are less black boys. According to writer Christina Hoff Sommers, author of the book The War Against Boys, How Misguided Feminism is Harming Our Young Men, when the grades at prestigious Scarsdale High School in the suburbs of New York City were closely evaluated, it was discovered that there was little or no difference in the grades of boys and girls in advanced placement classes. But in standard classes, girls were graded a lot higher. Since black boys are less likely to be placed in advanced placement classes, this can severely impact their grades. Once again, if we don't have teachers that are willing to put black boys in more challenging courses, they're going to be stuck. They're going to be stuck, and in many instances, these brilliant young melanated men don't feel challenged, and that's where the he has ADHD crap comes from. You know, I can't keep him grounded in class. He tends to drift off because he's bored to death. The work isn't challenging him. So we have to remember that we have to have these boys challenged, because just the very nature of being a male, we like to tinker with things. We like to take things apart, and we love to be challenged. And if we're not challenged, we become bored. And if we become bored, we become, quote-unquote, disruptive in the classroom. And here's number three, more referrals to special education. And this is huge as well, guys. As educator and writer Jawanza Kumjufu stated in his book, Black Students, Middle Class Teachers, that's a heck of a title. A child has a much greater chance of being placed in special education or tracked in remedial classes if he or she doesn't look or speak like the teacher. That's what I mean, no commonality. Across the country, black boys are much more likely than other students to be placed in special education classes and labeled mentally retarded, according to the National Education Association. In fact, the NEA says black and Hispanic males constitute almost 80% of youth in special education programs nationwide. Now, that's amazing how we're just 13% of the population, yet 80% of the dumb children, quote unquote, and pardon me for saying that, and I'm actually saying that facetiously, but 80% of the youth in special education programs nationwide. There's a disconnect there, guys. There's a true disconnect, and we have to monitor, and everybody can't homeschool. And those of you who are out there that are homeschooling, man, I tip my hat to you tremendously. You're doing, man, it's hard homeschooling. It's, trust me, it's much easier to send your child off to school and put them on the bus, him or her on the bus, and send them on their way. But to be an actual dedicated homeschooler, that takes commitment and time, and you have to know the subject matter yourself. So I tip my hat to you, but everybody doesn't have that option. So we have to really be cognizant of what's going on with our young people when they go to these schools, and don't let the teacher even tell you that your child has ADHD or something like that, because that could be something catastrophic towards that child's development. And also number four on our list, they are more fearful of black boys. Now, this is one we all know, because black boys encounter so many fearful teachers in school, they are three times more likely to be suspended or expelled from school than their white peers, missing valuable learning time in the classroom. The more they are suspended or expelled, the more likely they are to drop out of school. Black male high school dropouts are 38 times more likely to be incarcerated than black males with a four-year college degree. This is the pipeline. This is part of the pipeline of our young men going into the penal system. This is part of the, and it starts in school, guys. It starts in school, and our young men are targeted, and as well as our young ladies in many instances, but our young men are targeted for prison, and it starts in the school systems by expelling them. And once you expel somebody out of school, you know, you're basically labeling them a failure. You're labeling them uneducatable. If that's a word, I hope that's a word, uneducatable. But if it's not, you know what I'm talking about. We're labeling them less than other children. And we have to really, really, as Dr. Umar Johnson stated, we have to really watch what's going on when they're talking about expelling our children. You know, it's not cool And it's a detriment to that child. And if it's a detriment to that child, it's also a detriment to our community as a whole. This thing is far-reaching. Fifth on the list, they are less likely to have black boys tested for gifted programs. According to NEA statistics, black boys are 2.0 times less likely to be enrolled in gifted and talented programs, even if their prior achievement reflects the ability to succeed. This affects their likeliness to wind up in AP courses in high school, meaning they are less likely to be challenged at the highest level. We have to challenge our young people. Let me share a quick story before we go into the last one. It was a few years back, and my 18-year-old right now, her name is Imani. There was a music teacher, and for years she used to put on these little garbage little performances for the young people. Just garbage, just so basic, and she was a white, and she's a white lady. Just so garbage and weak, and I would look at it a year after year, and all the parents would do the, you know, the clapping after the children do what they do, just, you know, basically just off GP. But the programs that she put forth musically were terrible. And one day I asked, I said, what is this? Why don't you challenge these children to something that can, they can explore how creative they can be? And she said, well, I don't think they'd understand it. I said, well, man, with all due respect, I think you need to challenge them because your programs suck. Paraphrasing, of course. And from that day on, she has had some of the most phenomenal programs for these young people. She'll never admit it, but your boy Dino Dean dropped a bug in her ear, and she started challenging these young people. And they put on some shows now, Jack. They put on some shows. And see, that white female teacher, it was automatically ingrained in her that these black children could not take on and something that would challenge them. So that's why I said we have to become engaged and look at some of the stuff that goes on in your schools, and do not be afraid to talk to these teachers. And I did it as respectful as I could. It may have come across to her kind of funky, but you know it is what it is. And lastly on our list is black boys are more likely to receive lower quality instruction. A study by Cornell researcher C. Carabo Jackson found that as a learning institution gets more black students, the best teachers move away, presumably to schools where white children are predominant. This means the system almost guarantees most black students will always receive poor quality education. This is why it's important. And it's a shame that the salaries of teachers are relatively low. That's why those that teach have to do it for the love of the game. And in many instances, we talk to and we talk about these teachers as though this teacher's not doing their job, this teacher's not doing its job. But they don't get paid a lot of money. In many instances, they just don't. So I can't see too many teachers coming into the game of teaching because, you know, of the free summer vacation. I highly doubt that. That's why I want to see more people that look like us going into the teaching profession and taking on the challenge of educating people that look like them. Because as I've said many times on this show, people that do not look like us are not going to properly train our children to compete with their children. That's just the fact of the matter. It is what it is. Why would somebody train your child to take a job or a business opportunity away from their child? It's just not going to happen. And we have to look a little bit deeper into what's going on, a lot deeper into what's going on with our educational system. We have to, because like I just stated, most of us cannot homeschool our children. We're not equipped to do it. And in many instances in a two-parent household, the family, the mom and dad, they're out. They're out making the donuts, getting paid, and try to make the household work from an economic and financial standpoint. So they have to send them off. They have to send them off to public school. And also, look into some alternative schools in your area. There are some alternative schools in the Chicagoland area, Brother Marcus Klein is doing some phenomenal work. Look up Marcus Klein online. Check him out on YouTube. He is putting out some brilliant young people, and he has a love of the children, a true love of the children, and he demands that they do well. None of this, well, he can't get it, so we'll just move on. He demands that they do well in school, and he challenges them. And go to YouTube and look up Marcus Klein and see how sharp these young people are, guys. See how sharp they are. But we're going to take a brief break once again, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about 15. Matter of fact, let me pull it up right now so I don't get this wrong. And speaking about education, we're going to get an education today on the show. And these are 15 black uprisings against European and Arab oppression they won't teach in schools. And this is huge, guys. We always learn about America's great war heroes. We always hear about America's and Europe's great killers. Well, we got some killers in our community as well, and they kill for us, and they kill for freedom. And this is something that we definitely need to know about. We're going to take a brief break, guys, and we will be right back. You're listening to the Dino Dean Show, Holla Back Radio.
Mental illnesses might be more common than you think. In fact, one in four people are diagnosed with a mental illness every year. Those who are suffering from mental illnesses can feel misunderstood, rejected, alone. But there is a hope. Friends can play a beneficial role in the recovery process. I am a friend. Are you a friend?
Hi, this is Felicia Rashad with a message from Reading is Fundamental, the nation's largest and oldest children and families literacy organization. During the summer months, many children lose as much as 3 months of learning, but you can keep kids reading. Encourage them to read books about summer activities like camping and vacations. Show your kids the fun you have reading. Visit the library often. And start a book club for your children and their friends. For more tips and book lists, visit riff.org.
For tips to help children enjoy reading this summer, visit riff.org.
With the foes and the moles, watch up the store for the roles, talking straight forward to hoes. Got Uncle Jack smoking, some will blow up their nose to cope with the lows. The wind is holding it blows. In they socks and they souls, niggas holding they rolls. Corners leave souls open and closed, hoping for more, with nowhere to go.
Welcome back to the Dino Dean Show. The call in number is 646-200-0067. It's your boy Common. I was dogging him out last week, and we're going to bump this just for a hot more second. Common, come home.
And roll in a roll. Now I roll in the O's with windows that don't roll. Down the roads with cars get broken and sold. These are the stories told by Stony and Cottage Grove. The world is cold. The block is hot in the stove. On the corner.
Come on back home, brother. We know you didn't get success, but you ain't got to be talking that foolishness in public neither. But with that said, I'm going to go on to 15 black uprisings against European and Arab oppression they won't teach in school. And guys, this is big as well. In my humble opinion, this is huge because, like I just stated, you know, Europeans and whites all over this country, they celebrate their war heroes. They celebrate them tremendously. They give them all types of medals and talk about how great and brave that they are. And just think back, when you were in school, did you ever hear anything about a brave black man or brave black people? You go to them history books, all they talk about is slavery when it comes to us getting our ass whooped by white folks. That's real talk, guys. That's real talk. That's all we know. And see, that goes into the psyche and the subconscious of us when we're young. You know that white people are over us, white people are better than us. Obviously, if somebody can enslave you and keep you held down, subconsciously, how could you not think that that group is not better than you? Particularly when you're bombarded through media with images of them just being so friendly and wonderful. And yet and still you go to the history books and all of the history books are about them and their accomplishments. How can you as a child not think that these people are not better than you and yours? That's why I think this is a very important list. And I started to chop the list down just a little bit. I said 15 of them. I said, my goodness, that's a lot. But I want to talk about all 15 because, like I've stated many times, you're not going to boycott your way to freedom. You're not going to protest your way to freedom. It doesn't work that way. Look historically throughout the annals of time, you name one group of people that have ever said, I'm not going to buy your goods, and it brought them freedom. Come on, guys, let's wake up and smell the damn coffee. Number one on the list, everybody's heard about this brother, Nat Turner's Revolution. Nat Turner's Rebellion, also called the Southampton Insurrection, is probably the most famous slave uprising in North America. The revolt was brilliantly planned by Turner and took place August 1831 in Southampton County, Virginia. The Turner group led freedom fighters killed. Now, I'm not saying go out and kill nobody, but this is how it works. Killed up to 65 people of European descent, the highest number of fatalities caused by a slave uprising in the American South. Though the rebellion was quelled within a few days, Turner survived in hiding for more than 2 months afterwards. It is what it is, guys. You're not going to protest your way to freedom. And I'm not talking about protesting being a bad thing. You know, sometimes you have to give a warning to somebody first. We're going to protest. We're going to protest now. We're not feeling this. But eventually, you're going to have to do what you have to do. Number two on our list, the Haitian Revolution. The most successful slave uprising in the Western Hemisphere was the Haitian Revolution, which began in 1791. Dudy Bokman, an educated enslaved African from Jamaica who was sold to a French slave master in Haiti, organized and started the revolution that eventually led the French to ban slavery on the island. Later, military mastermind Toussaint Louverture led the revolution as France, Britain, and Spain governments tried to colonize Haiti and reestablish slavery. During the war, which culminated in the first independent black country in 1804, 100,000 French and British soldiers were killed. A hundred grand had to go. See, you just can't keep playing around with people that want to oppress you. You can't keep playing that game, guys, with people that want to oppress you and begging your oppressor. Wait up. Okay, that's a lot better. You can't keep begging your oppressor to do right by you. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to go down, guys. Please, would you stop killing our babies in the street? They look at you like, yeah, right. We've been doing this for a long time, and we're going to keep on doing it till you make us stop. That's the game, guys. And here's one I had never heard of. The Zanj Revolt. The largest revolt by enslaved Africans was ignited by the Zanj against Arab slavers. I'm going to repeat that, against Arab slavers. To all of my Muslims out there, I love you to death. Don't act like just the Christians enslaved our people. Arab slavers. The Zanj or Zanj were the inhabitants of the land along the coast of East Africa. They were traded as slaves by Arabs and were made to work in the cruel and humid salt pans of Shat al-Arab near Basra in modern-day Iraq. Conscious of their large numbers and oppressive working conditions, the Zanj rebelled three times. The largest of these rebellions lasted from 868 to 883 A.D., during which they inflicted repeated defeat on Arab armies sent to suppress the revolt. For some 14 years, they continued to achieve remarkable military victories and even built their own capital, this is how it's done, guys. We're going back in time. We're going back in time now. And these are our people saying enough is enough. We can't have this go on to us anymore. We can't have this go on anymore. So I'm going to say this before I continue on the list. Conceal and carry. Conceal and carry. Conceal and carry. Get your permits. The New York Slave Revolt of 1712. The New York Slave Revolt of 1712 happened in New York City when 23 enslaved Africans killed 9 people of European descent and injured 6 more. The slaves planned and organized the revolt on the night of April 6, 1712. After setting fire to a building on Maiden Lane near Broadway, they waited for colonists to rush to put out the flames, then proceeded to attack them. Excellent military strategy. That's called a distraction. Come on over here and put out this fire, then we're going to put you out. And the thing is, I'm not reading this list to have people go out and attack anybody. I'm just showing you what has happened historically when people wanted to get their freedom. And like I stated earlier, white America, Europeans, they hail and hold up their military strategists to the fullest. And we should do the same. Next on the list, the First Maroon War. In 1739, the Jamaican Maroons were the first enslaved Africans to win their freedom from European slave masters. During the First Maroon War, they fought and escaped slavery and established free communities in the mountainous interior of the island. For 76 years, there were periodic skirmishes between the British and the Maroons alongside occasional slave revolts. Eventually, the British government and slaveholders realized they couldn't defeat the Maroons, so they came up with a peace treaty, oh goodness, that allowed them to live in their own free states in Jamaica. As a result, the Maroons established their 5 main towns. It's Acampong, Treloawi Town, Morse Town, Scott's Hall, and Nanny Town. This is how it was done, guys. I keep saying that, but you know it is what it is. This is how you get freedom. You do not keep going on and on and begging and screaming and why you do this to me. It's not how it works. Next on our list, the Anglo-Ashanti Wars, and this happened in Ghana. Nowhere in West Africa was there a longer tradition of confrontation between African and European powers than in the Gold Coast, present-day Ghana, between the Ashanti Kingdom and the British. England's efforts to extend its economic and political influence into the interior of the Gold Coast were met with stiff resistance from the Ashanti. For nearly 100 years, between 1806 and 1901, the Ashanti Kingdom defended its interests and freedom through a series of victories and battles with the British and other Europeans. The British finally defeated the Ashanti with superior weaponry and Nigerian warriors. Wow, Nigerian warriors. And Queen Mother Ya Asantewaa's war on the Golden Stool in 1901. The victory paved the way for British colonial rule over the entire Gold Coast. But the Queen Mother managed to keep the Golden Stool safe from the British. And you know what? I'm really good because I didn't read any. I may have read the first two, but I didn't read any of the list. And hopefully this is news to you because all of this stuff is news to me. Most of it is anyway. A lot of these I had never heard of. But they made a movie out of this last one, this next one I'm going to read. The Amistad Revolt. In 1839, Africans took control of the Spanish slave boat called La Amistad while sailing along the coast of Cuba. That's where my people from, Cuba. The African captives, led by Joseph Sinqu, escaped their shackles and killed many of the crew, but spared a few to sail the ship back to their home to Sierra Leone. However, the crew tricked them, sailing north, where they were apprehended along Long Island, New York. After a highly publicized court trial, the African captives were released as free men. That's the Amistad Revolt. Many of us saw that. I saw the movie anyway, and check it out if you want to. It was okay. The Malay Revolt. The Malay Revolt in 1835, also known as the Great Revolt, is possibly the most significant slave rebellion in Brazil. Brazilian Yoruba slaves and ex-slaves who were inspired by Dudi Boukman Toussaint L'Ouverture and the Haitian Revolution, 1791 to 1804, wore necklaces with the image of Haitian President Dessalines as they fought for their freedom. When the smoke cleared, the Portuguese authorities feared that they would lose control of Brazil, as the French did in Haiti, and they quickly sent the surviving 500 fighters to the revolt back to Africa. They said, y'all got to get up out of here. And the thing is, this is why we will never be taught this in the schools. I'm going to read another part of the Mali Revolt. They were inspired by the Haitian Revolution. See, this is how you get inspiration. You get inspired by things that happened in the past. And if we don't know these things ever happened, we're going to think it's our place in society to just be poo butts. We're going to think it's our place in society to be a permitted underclass. We're going to think it's our place in society to get dogged out by others. And it's not our place in society. We're part of the human family as well. As a matter of fact, the original inhabitants of the human family, the original people. From the list, the Zanzibar Revolution. When Zanzibar was granted independence by the British in 1963, a series of parliamentary elections reserved 2/3 of the seats for Arabs and Indians. Frustrated by underrepresentation in parliament, despite winning 54% of the vote in the July of 1963 election, the mainly African Afro-Shirazi Party joined forces with the left-wing Umma Party. Cooperation, they joined forces. That's what we have to do. Early in the morning on January 12, 1964, ASP member John Okola mobilized approximately 600 to 800 revolutionaries on the island of Ungunju. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. They overran the country's police force and confiscated their weaponry. The insurgents then overthrew the Sultan and his government. Reprisals against Arab and South Asian civilians on the island left the death toll ranging from several hundred to 20,000. Wow. It is what it is, guys. And I keep saying that, and many of you hopefully, you know, don't have some brainstorm and think you're going to do something overnight. Things have to be organized, and the timing has to be right. And I'm not advocating going out and doing anything disruptive. I'm just showing you this is how you gain freedom. Next on the list, the Stono Revolution. The Stono Revolution, also known as Cato's Conspiracy, was a slave revolt that began on September 6th, 1739, in the colony of South Carolina. Nearly 60 slaves killed 22 to 25 plantation owners before they were intercepted by the South Carolina militia near Edisto River. In that battle, the slaves managed to put up a fierce fight, with some of them escaping. The Stono Rebellion was the largest slave uprising in the British mainland colonies prior to the American Revolution. Next on our list, Tacky's War. In 1760, Tacky, a Jamaican slave originally from Ghana, planned and organized an uprising to gain freedom from slavery. On Easter Sunday, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Tacky and his army began the revolt, easily took over the plantation, and killed the slave owners. End of the battle, over 60 slave plantation owners were killed before they were able to capture Tacky. However, Tacky's war didn't end there. The movement sparked revolution throughout the island, and it took British forces months to reestablish order. And next on our list is I can't pronounce this, guys. I'm just going to call this the Battle of South Africa. I'm sorry. The people of South Africa have resisted European control since the Dutch and British began invading in the 17th century. In some parts of South Africa, they fought European control until the end of the 19th century. In spite of colonial efforts, Zululand remained free until 1880. In 1879, a strong show of resistance, a Zulu army under the leadership of King Cetshwayo in South Africa, defeated the force of 8,000 European soldiers, killing 1,600. This was the single greatest defeat suffered by the British in all their colonial endeavors in Africa and Asia. Next on our list is San Miguel de Guadalupe. Founded in 1526, San Miguel de Guadalupe was the first European settlement in what is now the United States mainland, and where some scholars speculate that near present-day Georgia's Sapalo Island, McIntosh County, Georgia. The first group of Africans to set foot in this territory rose up in rebellion and fought their oppressors before fleeing into the interior and presumably settled with the Native Americans. This incident is the first documented slave revolution in North America. So you're not going to get this stuff in the school systems. Our children will never hear these stories. And big shout out to Atlanta Black Star. This is where I got the list from, for putting this information out. I love that website, guys. You have to support it, Atlanta Black Star. Next on the list is the Demerara Revolution of 1823. The Demerara Revolution of 1823 was an uprising involving more than 10,000 slaves and took place in the former colony of Demerara Essequibo, currently known as Guyana. For 1823, Jack Gladstone and his father, Quimana of the Success Plantation, led an army of enslaved Africans to fight against their slave masters for their freedom. Many plantation owners and slave masters were captured and killed. The uprising had such a strong impact on the British, they pressured their country to accelerate the emancipation of African slaves after enactment of the Slave Trade Act in 1807 banned the slave trade. This is what it takes, guys, and I believe this is our last one, if I'm not mistaken. I ran through 15 of these, too, didn't I? Yes, I did, because I thought this was very important. And share this. Go to Atlanta Black Star and share this with your children and your grandchildren and those of you who may not know of this. Enlighten yourself to this, to let you know that we have warriors, had warriors, and we have them today that are willing to put the work in. And last on our list, number 15, the Battle of Ethiopia. And let me scroll down just a little bit. Up until it was briefly held by Italy in 1931 to 1945, Ethiopia was the only African territory that resisted complete colonization by Europeans. Italy did indeed colonize part of ancient Ethiopia, the area along the Red Sea that became known as the independent country Eritrea. However, under the leadership of Emperor Menelik II, Ethiopia resisted European attempts to colonize all of the country. Ethiopia won a decisive victory over Italy at the Battle of Odawa in December of 1895. During the battle, Menelik's warriors attacked with ferocity the Italians couldn't have imagined, taking hardly any prisoners. The victors of Battle of Odawa killed 289 Italian officers, 2,918 European soldiers, and about 2,000 Askari. And these are Africans who fought on the side of Europeans, about 2,000 Uncle Tom buck dancing assholes. Another 954 European troops were missing, while 470 Italians and 958 Askari were wounded. Some 700 Italians and 1,800 Askari fell into the hands of the Ethiopian troops. That's our list today, guys, of 15 uprisings against Arabs and Europeans that you will never get in their history books. The winner of the war controls the history books, and that's probably one of the most important tools of propaganda ever used against an oppressed people, because you would never hear of your greatness in their books. That's why I applaud groups like Atlanta Black Star, and there's a slew of websites out there that give this information up, guys, a slew of them. And they literally are giving us information that we need to have, and some stuff that I think that our young people need to have, so they can know we are not the bottom rung of the world. We are a great and a mighty people. And you keep on messing with us, you're going to find out the hard way. And with that said, we're going to take a brief break, guys, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Easter Sunday. I'm going to end this show early today. I got some things to do. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the myth of Easter. Then I'm going to be up out of here. You're listening to the Dino Dean Show on Hollaback Radio.
I vow to make excuses when you humiliate me in public. to forsake my friends and family when you isolate me, and to value myself less when you belittle me. I vow to blame myself when you hit me, and to fear for my safety and the safety of our children till death do us part.
Don't ignore domestic abuse. Speak now. The Family Justice Center is a place of safety.
I see you coming, tiny fingers and toes. You will call me Mama, dependent on me, deciding your fate. My choices can harm you, alter your perfection, leaving the party behind with your interests in mind. I channel you healthy. You are sunshine, generations of time. My power is infinite.
Choose an alcohol-free pregnancy and reduce the risk to your baby. Log on to NOFAS.org.
I went online and I found that breastfed babies have stronger immune systems. It helps to boost brain development. Research also shows that breastfed babies are happier babies. And I've also found, which is one of my favorites, there's a bond that is created between mother and child when you breastfeed. So why wouldn't you want to breastfeed? I believe spending time researching about how to feed my baby helped me make a better choice.
Welcome back to the Dino Dean Show. The call in number 646-200-0067. Once again, the call in number is 646-200-0067. And before we even get to talking about Easter today, I'm going to do a segment that I haven't done in quite a while, guys. And I think since the Christian family feels that Easter is such a good day, and we're going to do our Tell Me Something Good segment, guys. And here we go. This is our Tell Me Something Good segment, guys, and this is the segment where we talk about good things that goes on in our hoods, neighborhoods, and communities all over the United States as well as all over the world. The University of California, San Diego recently unveiled a new life-size bronze sculpture of Sojourner Truth. Born into slavery, Sojourner Truth became a leading abolitionist and advocate for women's rights. Lieutenant Colonel Merrill Tingsladal, a Bronx native, has become the first African-American female to ever pilot the U-2, an ultra-high altitude reconnaissance aircraft used for intelligence gathering and can fly up to altitudes of 70,000 feet. Macy Peterson is the brainiac behind On Second Thought. The cleverly named innovation is an app that lets you take back text messages before the content is delivered to the receiving party. Some of y'all know y'all need that app because y'all done some stuff and been like, why did I send that out? Arnold Donald, Carnival Corporation's first black CEO, navigates the cruise line to $1.5 billion in profit. That's what we do. We know how to make that chop. And the world's first black flight attendant, Leopoldo Dean Duala Bell Smith, honored by the Black Flight Attendants of America Association. And lastly on our list, Ricky Jackson, 57 years old. He spent 39 years in prison for a murder he didn't commit. And on last Thursday, an Ohio judge ordered the state to pay Jackson $1 million for his wrongful imprisonment. Jackson was freed from prison last November. And this concludes our Tell Me Something Good segment. And this segment was inspired by Haru G. Duenas. So check out his Facebook page, Positive Black Stories. And if you have some positive stories you think we should know about, shoot me an email, dinodeanshow@hotmail.com. And now we're going to go on and we're going to talk a little bit about Easter, Esther, so many different doggone, wait a minute, I don't know how this happened. Easter, Esther, my thing just blew up on my page. Hold on. But we just going to let this ride out. We're going to talk a little bit about Easter. And in my humble opinion, this is just me, I truly believe that once we get rid of that doggone mentality of accepting the slave master's religion, guys, once we get rid of that, that's going to go a really, really long way into us becoming the people we need to be as a group. Because it, as long as you have these European images of Caucasians as your deities, how could you ever rise up and fight your God? Because to keep it 100, guys, to keep it 100, many of us claim that we celebrate and we praise Muhammad or we praise Jesus. Y'all praise white folks. Tell the truth now. Just keep it 100 now. We got to keep it real today. It's Easter Sunday now. We're not going to go into the fairy tales of somebody coming back from the damn dead, that zombie story. We're not going there today, but let's just keep it real today, guys. Many of us have such a worship factor when it comes to white folks. Stop saying you worship Jesus. Just stop. Keep it real with yourself. Keep it real with your family. At least they'll know where you're coming from. And bear witness, you celebrate, and you love the white man more than you love life itself. We got to keep it real today, guys. It is what it is, and we have to talk about these things. We have to talk about how many of you claim you're celebrating Easter. You're celebrating the white man. You're celebrating his deity. You're celebrating his tradition. Let it go, guys. Let it go. We will never, as a group, progress anywhere as long as you hold on to your oppressor's religion. And it's something like to say, like my brother Yunaga Monsoon, religion. Give up the lies, guys. And it's sad when you talk to somebody about this particular subject matter. And I guarantee you guys, and let me just digress briefly. Every time this subject matter comes up, my numbers drop like a rock because I step on a lot of toes. But I never stop because I think this is important for us. I will have gathered up a whole bunch of more new listeners and whatnot. And as soon as I talk about their Jesus, man, I can't be listening to this Negro. He talking crazy about my Lord and Savior. Guys, it's a myth. It's not real. Don't take it personal. It's not my fault. It's a myth. It's based upon Egyptian mythology. Let's just give the breakdown of it. It's based upon Egyptian mythology. And it's the Johnny-come-lately story of somebody coming back to life, Easter, Christmas, all of it. And it's based on astrology. This is the spring equinox, guys. It's the spring equinox, and this is where Easter ultimately has come from. And those of you who are in the Christian family, I'm going to say this, and I really thought long and hard one day about this. Get up off of your ego of not wanting to be wrong. Because ego is a very dangerous thing. Somebody can present information to you, and it'll sound perfectly 100% correct, and you're going to say with just utter disbelief to me, well, I'm going to believe it anyway, because you don't want to be wrong. You'd rather be right and stupid than wrong and correct, if that makes any sense. But you'd rather hold on to your lie and be totally wrong so you can be right in your own mind when you know good and well that nobody came back from the damn dead and rose into heaven. Think. It's mythology. Let it go and let the imagery go of your oppressor's deities, or we will never go anywhere as a people. That is one of the most powerful tools being used against us today. We're just going to hold on to foolishness. We're just going to hold on to something that absolutely positively couldn't exist. And we're just going to say, hey, I'm just going to run with this thing. I'm going to roll with this thing because I don't want to be wrong. The Creator has given us all common sense. Has given us all common sense. Stop suspending your common sense. Stop suspending reality for fiction and fairy tale guys. And some of you may have gone to church today, and that's fine. And if you want to go and have social hour at the church, that's cool. I don't have a problem with that at all. But just know in your heart of hearts that this stuff isn't real. And I'm not saying you can't learn anything from Christianity. You know, there's some tenets in that book, as well as Quran, that are good for you. But don't go around believing that these stories actually took place, guys. We have to get a lot more sophisticated than that. We really do. We have to get a lot more sophisticated than that, because if we don't get any more sophisticated than that, we're not going to go anywhere. And it is what it is. And these are just my opinions. These are just your boy's opinions. And, you know, hey, I'm entitled to have those opinions. So don't be mad at me. And don't just say, you know, hey, I'm done with your show because I'm giving you an ounce of game. Don't get mad at me because of that. I'm just telling you flat out that the stuff's not real, guys, and we have to let it go. And if we don't let it go, we're going to stay stuck. It's just like having your feet in cement. We won't go anywhere. We won't go anywhere. And I want you to think about this as well before I let you go. Your oppressor has never given you anything good for you, ever. Given it to you. You had to fight for it all. You had to fight for it. Yet he gave you that Bible and that Negro preacher back in the day and told you things to make you weak and told you things to make you submissive to him. It is Mindfuck USA that was used on our people back in the day and used on our people today to shirk responsibility for doing for self. And a lot of you sisters love Jesus so much because Jesus will not tell you, take off that short-ass dress, clean the damn house. You don't have to hear that from Jesus. You got to hear that from your man. And you don't want to hear that sometimes. So your first love affair, because sometimes you may hear a sister, the most important thing in my life is Jesus, then after that family. And what? Affection is more important than your family? Mindfuck USA, guys. Mindfuck USA. You're going to have to let it go. But like I said, a lot of you sisters, man, y'all love Jesus so much because Jesus doesn't hold you accountable for anything. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. Forgive me, Jesus, for going to the club and shaking my ass till 2 in the morning and flirting with all those dudes and going home to my man acting like nothing didn't happen. Forgive me. But your man not going to forgive you for that. And same thing with you weak Negro men. Forgive me for sitting on my ass and not doing a damn thing for the past 10, 15 years and living off my woman. Forgive me. You can't shirk your responsibility anymore, and I'm not going to let you shirk your responsibility around me. Talking about some damn, I'm going to put it in Jesus' hands. You better put it in your own damn hands and start handling your own damn business, family, because that's ultimately what it's all about. We have to be accountable to ourselves. We have to be accountable to our children. And we have to be accountable to our community as well. So let's let go of the foolishness, guys. And with that said, I'm going to bring this show to an end today. And we're going to have another two-hour show next week, hopefully. And I want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Victor Crosby. Oh, hold on. 253 then came up. Hold on 1 second. I missed that. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. Area code 253, talk to me. It's Dino Dean.
Dino Dean, what's going on? This is Nashadi out of Washington State. What's going on, fam?
What's happening, brother? What's going down?
Just want to say thanks, man, for putting that info out, man. We need it. We need it. And
brother, thank you for calling in and chopping it up with your boy. And I received that from you. I definitely received that from you. And whether you know it or not, brother, you know, you put so much cold-blooded stuff out on Facebook. Shoot, the 15 uprises I got from one of your posts. So, brother, you are a contributor to the show whether you know it or not.
Oh, it's all about sharing it. As long as you get the message, it don't matter where it comes from, but as long as you get it, right?
As long as you get it, brother. But I appreciate you and what you do, because I see what a warrior you are on Facebook and the things that you do to enlighten our people and give information out. Brother, I appreciate you as much as you appreciate me, whether you know it or not, beloved.
Oh, thanks, man. Much love. Stay up, fam.
Yes, sir. One brother. Yeah, that's one of my Facebook friends. He was a supporter of the show. Real good brother. Be putting out some hell of a stuff on Facebook, man. That brother, I'll be like, man, I got to share that. But with that said, I'm going to bring this show to an end today, guys. And big shout out to Victor Croswell from the Chicago Dota chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen. And take advantage, please take advantage of the Young Eagle program. They take your babies up in a plane, and in some instances, they let them take control of the plane. And wonderful experience. I've dated with two of my daughters and three of my daughters. And my youngest son is going this summer, and it's safe. And he's really looking forward to doing it, guys. So please support that. And the website, if you want to donate, is www.taichicago.org. It's a free flight, but it does cost money. So we all have to do our little bit to do what we need to do to fund endeavors like this that do good things for our children. And with that said, I'm going to bring this show to an end today, and there will be no old school similar clip of the week. I can't get my chat room up, so therefore, and this is something that I like to do with the chat room, but I'm going to have it next week. I already got the clip pulled, and I guarantee you y'all not going to get it. Guaranteed. But somebody might. But we're going to end the show like we always do with the song. There was a sister last week on Facebook. I believe her name is Miss Jenkins. She wanted me to end the show with Santana last week, and I told her I was going to end the show this week with Santana. So we're going to end it with Santana, Black Magic Woman. And also, guys, please support Black-owned business. It's what we do to survive. Your boy on his way to the Big Easy in a little bit. Talk to you guys next week. Back on the baby, you just might pick up my matches.